B-Pod Studios.
It's kind of been rocky because you never could really establish that, camaraderie with, with the guys. So I'm just looking forward to it once again. And, I know the upside he has. You know, he has a great career ahead of him, and he's a young guy. He's going on his fourth year. So, I definitely know what he wants to accomplish. Obviously, seeing that, Super Bowl won without him, I know he has an eager, fire inside of him that wants to get back to that destination. So, all I can say is I'm here to help and do what I can. You know, it might be games where I don't get any catches. It might be games where I get a lot of catches. Whatever that is, the story's written for itself. So I'm just excited to be a part of it.
Hey, Sean, what's your mentality kind of integrating back into the locker room? Obviously, there's been a lot of roster turnover since your last year, new leaders that have come in.
Right.
So how do you kind of approach putting back in?
My approach, honestly, is just to come in and show the work. I think, any time you have guys in this league that, obviously have a lot of success and, been different places around the league, the first thing you can say is, how will a guy come to work? How will a guy be accountable? And as long as you can come, put in the work and guys see that, you're not taking a shortcut out and, you're working just as hard as them or even harder, that's where you gain your respect. That's where you earn your respect in this business, in this game. And I've learned that as a young player and obviously being a veteran now in this league that, there's no shortcuts to success.
You said early in your career, the success came so fast as a young guy, maybe it's a little hard to deal with.
Right.
You were shocked when you were here about all the work that had to go into this.
For sure.
How did you think your maturity changed in that way?
Honestly, like I say, at a young age, you don't have to look at, how I'm taking care of my body or, how I'm resting, how much am I partying, how much am I, doing all the wrong things. So I think as you get older, you mature, you wake up and you say, oh, my body's hurting a little more, man. Maybe I got to go sit in the hot tub a little longer. Maybe I need to get to work earlier, get on the field and go stretch out. It's just little things like that, as a young kid when I was 24, I didn't have to do. I could just wake up on my bed and go run. I used to always say cheetahs don't stretch, and, I look at myself as a cheetah. So, but now I'm a little older, and these joints, they hurt a little more. So I had to get out there a little early and just take care of my body a little more. But
Sean, have you worked out your number yet here?
Man, what you think, man? You know something I don't know. What you know? Nah, yeah, we worked it out, man. I was definitely talked to Mac and, appreciate him letting me get that number back. So do some cool things for receiver court, man. But yeah, that number, man, I don't know how much I gotta argue about that, man. I definitely did some great things at that number, so it's definitely good to have that number back.
Take two more questions.
We worked it out. We good. I'm back in the 10.
Take two more questions.
You weren't the only accomplished wide receiver to get traded.
Mm-hmm.
What have you made of those moves and kind of what's happening in the position, the way, how the guys are moving around?
Yeah, man. What I can say is, I'm glad we don't got to deal with Odell. I know the DBs on our team, glad we don't have to deal with him no more. So, it's business, man. This is, you're in this business, man. This business is a crazy business, man. And you never know what your destiny is going to lead out to, man. And, like I say, as a professional, as a guy that's been, traded, released, hit the free agency market, and just been around the NFL, man. All you can do is just put your best foot forward, and that's work your tail off. You can't leave it up to anybody else. As long as you're doing the best you can and make the better you every day when you wake up, I'm sure Odell is not going to feel bitter about anything he's done, Would he have done some things different? Maybe. But, as a professional, all you can do is just put the work in and, go out to the field and play. That's what we all love to do, is to go out to the field and compete. And as long as you're competing at a high level, regardless of being traded, released, or doing anything, you can walk away from this game or still play this game and just be happy that at the end of the day, you put your best foot forward.
We'll take one more from Martin. We're up to Tampa that night. A lot of talented receivers.
All right.
They like to spread the ball. Why didn't it work out there with you? It seemed like you were unhappy.
Yeah, it was definitely a great stop in my career. I definitely was – loving going to Florida, going to, a city where it has some hot weather and didn't have to worry about the cold. So, it was very exciting to go there. Me looking at the team, it had a lot of upside, a lot of great players there. I wish I had the answer for you. It just didn't really plan out. But, You know, I definitely had a great 2 years of my career there, and, you know, I wish them the best, and, you know, moving forward, you know, I'm a Philadelphia Eagle again. I'm in this green. You like this green I got on? You know, I'm back home, man. I'm happy about it. I'm stoked. So, you know, I'm sure you guys will be seeing us soon out there on the field. I can't wait to get around and fly around with my teammates.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. There he is. Deshaun.
And by the way.
Dapper.
Well, he's got the green shirt, like he said, Matt. It's a very lime, bright, neon lime green.
Yeah, cool shirt.
It looks great. But here's the thing that really stood out to me. How happy he was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, did you listen to him right at the beginning of the news conference? Hey, guys, how you doing? How's everybody doing? Like,
yeah.
He was doing stand-up up there. Like, he was he was controlling the room, starkly smiling, like... That was not the same dude that was here before. Now, you know, well, you could see like the maturity that just took over him. Like, no, he's not shy.
Yep.
I mean, just he looked great. Like the smile.
Credit really, to the Philadelphia fans without provocation.
Yeah, no. Well, listen, you know, he's always been smart.
Yep, and he talked about how he was. Sent out of here last time, but he wants to move forward and talked about his relationship with Howie Roseman and Jeff Lurie and how anytime they were around, they would come up and find him and talk to him and the whole thing. So, yeah, you're right. He looked very settled from, you know, coming back, and he's got unfinished business here. It's probably hard for him being sent out of here the way he was, A, and then seeing the team have that success and go and win a Super Bowl, B. And he mentioned that he wants to come here to win a Super Bowl. And hey, we all love to see it.
I love his attitude. I'm gonna tell you, and he has yet. Like, I get back on the field. I gotta work. I gotta work at it now. I think he gets it. I think players mature. It's a part of it. You don't understand it when you're 24 years old.
Yeah,
you know, you think you got the world, right?
Yeah,
sometimes. You're a young man, you think you got the world, you don't understand, and then you hit 30, you realize what's happening.
Yeah, the world has a couple curveballs for you, too. Yeah. The thing is, too, is and credit to NBC Sports Philly, thanks for the, that's where we got the audio from, they carried it today. But the thing is, too, with him, you look at him, and so he was asked about how he's maintained his speed, and he said, the hard work that I do in the offseason, I've been able to keep my speed, because that's his hallmark. Like, you go, what's the hallmark of a player?
Well,
he's a burner.
Yeah, I mean, like...
Stretch it.
It's why I'm not in love with Nelson Aguilar.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, there's no discernible skill.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he's not bad. Like, he can run a little bit. Not going to run away from people, but he can run a little bit. He doesn't have horrible hands, but he's not, you know, he's not a glue guy.
Yeah.
So, but you look at DeSean Jackson, you know what he does? He runs.
And he can... And here's the thing, like, Torrey Smith could run. But he couldn't catch one a lot of times when he got there.
Yeah, no, he's got good hands.
Yeah, DeSean's got good hands.
You know what? DeSean played baseball.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, DeSean was a baseball player.
Yeah, good tracker then.
And yes.
Track and fly ball.
And I always
Why
thought.
Why put him at center, man? You see that speed at center?
Yeah. I've always thought, like, you know, see those California kids play, and they always play baseball.
Yeah.
And playing baseball is so good for all the sports.
Yeah. That's exactly tracking the ball in. Yeah.
Your hand eye, period.
Yeah. Boy, could you imagine him playing center field?
Yeah. He did play center field with Chase Utley, UCLA. He could play.
Oh, man.
Another one with Freddie Mitchell. The guy could play.
Yeah.
At Cal, when DeSean was at Cal, he played. How was it? I know something. When he was at Cal, there was a story about him trying out for the team. He was going to play baseball as well, and he was, there's some story about how good he was.
Yeah.
And he played center field in high school.
Yeah. Well, this is, we all hope it works out from a football standpoint. We think it will. DeSean, we'd like to sign him from a football standpoint, but it's a good story, too, to come back here.
It's a great story.
Yeah. So
it's a great story.
Now, I've gotten a little bit of guff here via social media, as I often do, and some people agree, some people don't agree.
Back.
Well, I mean, people are saying, let me read you a couple of tweets.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, Mikey Mac says, two questions. Cuz, why don't you want Isaiah Crowell? And then,
why should I want him?
Yeah. And then it says, Jason, you don't think this roster is any better than the roster last year? We have a true deep threat, finally, and got a solid D tackle. You're crazy. Also, the offseason started. Just chill out, man. Well, look, I did say, and we both said, there's still time for things to get done. But here's the deal, though. You're probably going to have to go into the trade market now, more so to get a running back, because the list of available running backs, I just saw this tweet from the bro. Did you see this, Ant? the available running backs right now.
Yeah, they're not good.
Slim Pickens.
Yeah, not good.
Amir Abdullah, Jay Ajayi, C.J. Anderson, Kenyon Barner.
No.
Blunt. I mean, it's Corey Grant, Jeremy Hill. There's nothing here.
No, there isn't. That, you know, that's the problem. When you look at backs, you know, you look at them and you go, you know, C.J. Anderson, I don't know. I mean, I guess he makes a little, you know, I have a little interest because you saw what he did, but.
I don't got a little interest there.
I'm serious. Like, there's nothing really about there.
And he also, Mikey Mack said, don't you think this roster is any better than the roster last year? Like, basically, crazy? No. They're not a better roster than they were last year.
Well, let's think about it for a second.
They're a lot older.
Let's just go position real quick.
Okay.
So, obviously, you don't have a backup quarterback. You're not as deep on the offensive line because you had Brandon Brooks last year.
Mm-hmm.
Although you could make the argument, we can't really make the argument yet.
That
Jordan Mailata can contribute. So that's kind of a wild card. But they were better last year because Brandon Brooks is healthy. The skill positions, I didn't like their backs last year. They had Ajayi, which, you know, was better. You knew
and Sproles.
He's a ticking time bomb, and Sproles was hurt.
Yep.
So when you look at that, it's kind of right out to wash. I'm kind of disappointed because I wanted more of a running back.
Less than a wash. I mean, Smallwood, Adams, and Clement right now, that's it.
Yeah, but last year, I'm assuming, you saw Ajayi get hurt, so
yep.
It didn't matter.
Yeah, exactly. You need to upgrade.
Wide receiver, I like Deshaun better than Wallace.
And Wallace only gave you one game.
Then that's, then you look on, the defensive side.
D-line's not improved. Malik Jackson is
not
nice.
Bad. It's not bad.
It's not a massive.
I don't think it's a complete downturn.
Well, a lot of it depends on Brandon Graham, another year older.
Yeah.
Just got paid.
Yeah, but, we're guilty of doing the Bennett. Oh, look at this. He got to the quarterback mm-hmm. 9 times.
Yeah.
Look how good he was. And then when you put the tape on and coaches go, well, you know, he can flash.
Yep.
But for every one of those plays, you got a couple he takes off.
Yeah. Upon further review. Linebacker, you're without Hicks.
No, that's a big loss.
You got a huge hole there.
Yeah, huge loss.
Cornerback.
Yeah, No Darby.
We like Avante Maddox. We like Craven LeBlanc and the little we saw him. But is he the answer? Mills will come back. McLeod is safety.
But here's the thing. This is all about whether or not Carson. If Carson's good, they're all right.
Well, that's a big part of it, too. But to sit here and say that this roster right now.
Yeah, I agree.
Is better than last year, to me, is very, very short-sighted. Yeah. And again, I have faith in Howie. There's a long way to go. I'm not jumping off a bridge.
You shouldn't, because, you know, how we can make trades and the whole thing.
Yep, and he can find guys off the scrap heap that can fit, and, there's still some players out there that he can get to supplement this team, and they're going to sign Fort to a 3-year contract I saw as well. L.J. Ford, who played with the Steelers last year as a linebacker,
yeah, I don't care.
29 years old.
Yeah,
underwhelming.
I don't like him.
Yeah, so, I mean, you look at everything, and I look at it now, I go, no, they're not as good of a roster. Can they be come camp? Maybe.
Isaiah Crowell. So, Crowell, I'm trying to talk myself into him. He's been in the league 5 years, you remember from Cleveland,
yep.
And he's always been a split-time guy, not special. But he did average 4.8 a carry last year.
How many carries in it?
For the Jets, 143.
Okay.
No fumbles.
How many total yards?
685 on the ground.
All right. So he's in the Tevin Coleman kind of mold, as he wasn't kind of the go-to back.
I mean, he caught 28 passes.
All right, let's take a timeout. And look, I want to read some more of these tweets to you as well. 610-632-0975. That's the number. Do you believe this roster right now, as Mikey Mack did on Twitter, that it is better than last year? And do you have faith that Howie's going to make it better than it was last year? And again, I just had this notion that Carson's coming back cures all ill wills. And all ills for this team, and they go right back to an NFC Championship game. Maybe I was a little too optimistic there. I'm not sure.
Well, we'll talk about it.
610-632-0975. Midday show. Back after this.
All right. Let me tell you about Parks Casino. We'll be there tonight from 6 to 7 at Parks. And by the way, did you know that the Valley Forge race and sports book now open officially for business. 11 a.m. it opened, and it's open until 11 p.m. tonight. You can buy and cash all your tickets from Parks, Ben Salem, South Philly Race and Sportsbook, or now Valley Forge at any of the three locations. The Valley Forge Race and Sportsbook is now open, Route 422 in Oaks, Pennsylvania. So you can check out. We got some big time is the tournament. We got conference tournaments going on this weekend. And then it all begins Sunday. We'll be doing a special selection Sunday at Parks Casino. And, of course, it all begins the tournament next week. Cannot wait. Sports betting now available at the Racebook in South Philly. That's right, the Race and Sportsbook on Packer Avenue and, of course, Valley Forge. And Parks Casino right off the street road in Ben Salem. Parks Casino, PA's number one casino. Must be 21. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Flyers Caps tonight, cuz I'm curious how you
Carter
feel.
Hart. Oh my God. Kid gets the start. He's back. Carter Hart's back in the saddle tonight.
What do you think, man?
No Voracek tonight. Carter Hart back. Must win situation. Let me look at the number here tonight. Let's see what Vegas is thinking on this game. I like to get a little insight on the number from time to time. Vegas installing the Caps as a -130 fave. 8-day revenge, I'll go.
They're playing good hockey.
Oh,
Caps are hot.
A lot of people overlooking them tonight, but I'm going to go.
Outright tonight.
Big Flyer win
outright. Flyers winning outright tonight.
By the way, the Flyers are hot.
Show me these scores. Yep. 18-4-2 in their last 24 games. Not bad.
Flyers are hot.
One team with a better record since January 14th, that'd be the Boston Bruins. 18-4-2, 24 games. 34-12-2. 24-12-2, I think, is the record of Scott Gordon since he took over.
Wow.
At that clip, Anthony, if you extrapolate that over an 82-game season, that is paced for a 103-point season for Scott Gordon in just roughly a half a season, 38 games.
Really?
Yeah. So some interesting numbers there. And a lot of people have been asking, what's their record since Gordon
I mean, that's impressive. It really is impressive. Yeah. Only thing, though.
They had an 0-6-2 time there where they didn't win 8 straight games, too. Yeah. And just to have that record with that 0-6-2 when he first got in is pretty impressive.
Actually, it's really impressive. My only worry, and I got one worry, is that, you judge him off the short window and you pass up on the Q.
Yeah, and what you'd think is a generational coach.
The Q wins.
Well, he's got 3 Stanley Cups and had a great run, decade-plus run in Chicago, and built kind of similarly the way they're trying to build this Flyers team.
Mm-hmm.
With a couple of good defensemen, decent goaltending. They didn't have great goaltending in their first cup, Antti Niemi. And then you look at, obviously Taves and Kane, which was phenomenal. Kane was an MVP.
My point, right?
Yeah, I do. And me, I'm a Q guy. I always say in sports, and you bring it up as a worry, it's very interesting that you use that word, because I want to talk about that. But I always say in sports that you got these billion-dollar and, franchises worth so much money, and you're salary-capped in most except for baseball. But there's one area that you're not salary-capped in, so why be penny-wise and pound-foolish? And that's coaching.
Yes, that's a good point.
So why am I going to put my billion-dollar team in the hands of something I'm not sure about or something that has a resume?
Yeah.
So a lot of times I say, I go, okay, well, if I got this investment of this franchise, then how much I got to pay the coach shouldn't be an issue.
Yeah. No, that's right. That's right.
So you go out, and what do? You overpay, and you get the best.
Yeah.
And Quenneville, to me, is the second best coach that walks the planet Earth when it comes to hockey. So, yeah, you go after him. So, I don't know, though. I'm leaning more and more towards keeping Gordon. I think Quenneville's going to be in the mix. We'll see if he chooses the Flyers or maybe St. Louis and go from there. But if he chooses St. Louis, then Berube's out of a job, and he's going to be a Jack Adams nominee.
Yeah, I do love
all these people. Berube was a fighter; he'll know how to coach. But believe me, he knows how to coach. Yeah. Just because you were a fighter, don't mean you can't coach.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Look at Gretzky; he's the best player. He couldn't coach a lick. Guys that are great can't do that.
Never,
because they just go out on the ice and they do in sports. Like Michael Jordan, like great players can't, it doesn't translate to coaching.
Never has.
Because they're just great. And never, they can't explain why.
Never has.
Yeah. It's the marginal talent. It's the linemen that can explain things the best because they see it from up front in football, right? Guys like Baldy, you know, and those kind of guys, they see it in front of them so they can, they know how to build
football's
it.
Football's weird though, because a lot of great coaches never even played in the NFL.
Yep. It's the one sport where you go, I mean, a lot of times you got to get your cachet in the locker room because you were a player.
Yeah. It's like that in basketball.
Yeah.
Guys will kind of look at you cross-eyed a little bit. You got to prove yourself if you haven't played in the league.
Yeah. I mean, there's guys like Larry Brown who just are great at every level, and he's worked his way.
That's different. Yeah. Yeah, he played.
But I mean,
but he was a player when he was young.
Yeah, like Tyronn Lue. He played. You know, Scott Brooks played. A lot of these guys.
Steve Kerr.
Played, won championships. Yeah, I totally agree with you. And so we'll see how it plays out. But you're right, that is a worry. Sometimes you look at a small sample size and you go, okay.
Yeah, I've seen that before. You go, oh, all right, then, yeah, look at this. And then you miss the window for a great coach. That's the only thing. And again, I say that without knowing Scott. I think
he's a great guy. He's
a great guy. And he's done a great job. Like, I don't want to. You know, I don't want to dismiss him because I think he deserves to be in consideration. I think he's done a great job.
Yeah, but you're right. There's not many opportunities. And we've talked about this with this free agency period because there's been some really great talent that's available. And you talk about it. We're going to talk about it, you know, in the summer with NBA free agents. And it's very rare that incredible talent. Bryce Harper is a prime example of Manny Machado. Yeah. When there's tremendous talent available and you're in a position to add that talent, you almost have to come away with it, don't you? Whether that's a coach or a player.
Yeah, I agree.
If you're in need, and you look at these teams, and the Phillies were in need, they had to come away with a Harper or Machado, and they did.
So, speaking of Harper, and I'm curious, I've kind of sensed that it goes beyond just like they signed one of the top players, but people are genuinely looking forward to baseball.
Mm, yeah, you can see it.
So, I guess my question is, can we go back into time where this becomes a red town again? Like, I look right now, like, you're lukewarm on the Eagles.
Yeah.
Is it possible that this town becomes a Sixers-Phillies Eagles town? Is it possible that those two teams eclipse the Birds, where the Birds almost become, oh, wow, it's right. It's the season opener.
No way. Because the NFL, and a preseason game in the NFL is going to garner the same rating locally, that a Phillies game down the stretch or first-round playoff game will garner.
I get it, but locally, the Phillies have done very well. The Sixers have done very well.
Yeah.
And during the Red October years, I'm not saying we were not football, because we love football. We love the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
But we weren't like counting down the training camp, not when we had a baseball team like that.
Well, yeah, I don't know. Look, their percentage of the pie is going to get bigger. But here's the problem. Like, I don't know how much bigger it'll get, because the Eagles' percentage of the pie is massive. And as we know in this business, we know that there are people that are just football-only people. They're not sports fans. They're just football fans. But then there's also, the problem is how do you chip away at the Sixers when you've got Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid, Jimmy Butler, and Tobias? How do you take anything?
Yeah, but they're not in direct, like, yes.
Seasonally, you mean?
Yeah. Like, what's going to happen is the Sixers are going to garner a lot of, like,
hype and
attention. Right? Because it's playoffs. It's going to be April starts. We'll have opening day. We'll look for it. Then all of a sudden, Sixer playoff.
Yeah. About 5 weeks from now.
So that'll take precedence. But the Phillies will be right there. If the Phillies get off to like a big start and say Sixers go out and it's, you know, second round or whatever, then
very plausible.
And they get hot, this could be a red town again.
Well, yeah, if they get hot and all through the summer, it will be a red town. Because,
and look, the Sixers, yeah. I'm not saying the Sixers, well, like, they'll share it.
Yeah.
I'm saying Philly Sixers share it. The Eagles.
The double red you're going?
The Eagles could be the third team. Is that ever possible?
No, never. Never.
My man Danny.
Never.
He's visiting in the studio today.
I just can't envision it.
Along with his son Santino, they go, no.
No, no. Santino, you're dead right. Somebody's got to answer for Santino, and it's not the Eagles. Yes. No, there's no way. The Eagles are king, will always be king, and nobody will get halfway up the mountain to challenge the king.
Right.
That's just my opinion. And you're right. The order is going to be six or second right now. And with Embiid being the most exciting player in this city, I can't see anybody knocking that off. And then the Phillies and then the Flyers are where they are right now. And we'll see if they can grab a bigger piece of the pie, if they can get into being a championship contender. The great thing is that all these teams, I believe, are on the path. So we'll see. But you use the word worry. I want you to think about this. I want you to give me your biggest worry for all four of the teams. And you talked about missing out on Q, but maybe you got another one for the Flyers. Your biggest worry in dealing with the Sixers. I think it could be coaching related. It could be injury related. Whatever. I don't think we feel worried about Elton Brand. I think we feel pretty damn good there about Elton Brand and ownership.
Yeah, I think I have the worries off the top of my head.
All right, well, just hold it for a second. Now, yeah. I want to hear from the people. What is your biggest worry? Because it's a great word. It's a worrisome word with each team right now. Like, I'm worried the Eagles are a little long in the tooth.
Yeah, it's a good. No, listen, it's fair.
It's legit, right?
It's fair.
610-632-0975. All right, it's been a crazy start to the show with the Deshaun press conference, but let's get to the people. Let's talk to Alex in Haddon Heights, starts us off on the Fanatic. What's up, Al?
Yeah, hey, guys. You know, with the running back, you got to relax here. You know, when they won the Super Bowl, they signed LeGarrette Blount in May. They traded a fourth-round pick for Jay Ajayi, and Corey Clement was undrafted. It's the easiest position to fill. They'll never have a future back. They don't believe in it. So, I mean, they'll get a guy. They have three picks in the top.
Yeah, I disagree with that notion, though. Just because you won the Super Bowl doesn't mean you don't need a running back. Like, there's a lot of different factors as to why they won the Super Bowl.
You don't have to overpay for a running back when you're never going to feature one back.
I'm not They're saying you got to. There's a difference between saying you overpaying for a back and getting the position right.
Yeah, and then they still have an opportunity, though. Like you're saying, I mean, you do agree. There's the sweet spot for running backs this year is the second round. The kid from Iowa State, the kid from Memphis, Miles Sanders. One of those three guys, probably in the top 60 picks, the three.
Yeah,
picks
here's the problem though. There was a historic running back draft 2 years ago, and they came away empty.
Yeah, you generally miss more than you hit on draft picks. I mean, that's a fair question.
Fair when you miss on a historic running back draft. You don't get the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, I mean, take
when
Humphrey.
There were six backs that you could have taken. That would have been impact backs, and quite frankly, you wouldn't have went into the season with need.
Yeah, but there's a lot of things that led to that. It wasn't just
incorrect.
A lot of wrong assessment.
New Orleans jumped them. Minnesota jumped them for
Cook. Give me violins on that though, Al. Come on, bro. You can't be bending over like that when it was a clear mistake.
It was a mistake, but both, I mean, you hit.
No, I don't want to hear that. I disagree with you.
More than you hit on draft pick.
Well, that's a different argument. Some teams actually draft well. Are you going to tell me that this team has drafted very well over the last 5 years?
No, I think they're probably middle of the pack. I mean, I think they're probably
bottom third.
No, I would think they're bottom third. I'm not killing them.
I'm just saying. That historic running back draft, like, I don't understand this notion. Oh, it's okay. We don't have a running back. Why? Why is it okay?
No, it's not okay.
Not when you had a need in that draft and you came away with Donnell Pumphrey. What are you like?
I moved up to get him.
I'm supposed to be okay with that.
Yeah. Look at a guy like James O'Connor.
And you're going to argue about that?
Yeah. You've talked about James O'Connor last year with Pittsburgh, and he was great, right?
James Conner
O'Connor. He was fantastic. Now, they went into their backyard. He played a pit, and they grabbed him, and it was a good story that he stays in Pittsburgh. But Le'Veon misses last season. They don't miss a beat. It's a great draft pick by the Steelers to get Conner. He was phenomenal last year. And they don't miss a beat with him.
I, 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 don't understand the last caller a little bit.
Yeah, I don't get it either.
Like, I don't know why you want to go overboard to make an argument as to why it's okay not to have a running back. And the litany of excuses, oh, they got jumped here. No, you failed. It's okay. It's okay to say they failed. They won a Super Bowl 2 years ago, so, you know, it's all right.
Are we still handling with kid gloves?
But why?
The Super Bowl? Is that what we're doing?
But why is it okay to not have a back?
Let's go to Kenny in New York. It's not okay. Kenny's on the Fanatic. What's up, Ken?
What's going on, fellas, man? How y'all doing, man?
Yo, Ken.
Yeah, man. I agree with you, man. I agree with you on the running back situation, man. Because I think you can think about how dynamic the offense would have been with a decent, good, you know what I'm saying? So I do agree with you on that. But
yeah.
I want to talk about D-Tac, man. I'm glad, first of all, you know, it took Kelly years. I think even though, you know, we went to playoffs 1 year with him, whatever, and we lost to the Saints in the first round, whatever. But I'm glad he's gone, man. He killed our team. But anyway, I'm glad D-Jack is back, man, because think about how dynamic this offense is going to be, man. We got somebody fighting, the strength of Phil again. I mean, that's going to open up so much stuff for Ertz and Goddard. And you know what I'm saying? And just think about it. Now we do draft a good running back this year. Think about how dynamic we could be, man.
That's why I was frustrated the last caller, because if you have a really good back, and this idea, we don't believe in a feature back. Who doesn't believe in a feature back? The only people that don't believe in a feature back are those who fail to get one.
Yes. And I don't like the running, honestly, it worked for us when we won the Super Bowl running back by committee, but I don't like it.
I don't either.
I want to have a feature back, like you said. I don't like it. But that's all I wanted to say, man. Go Birds, man.
Go Birds.
Thanks, Kenny.
I like it, Kenny. Go Birds. Yeah. That's right.
And we're pumped up that Deshaun's back, and because he fills the need that they have, even though he's 32 years old, and you're going back to a guy who was here, but he still fills the need. He can still run. Feel good about Deshaun.
Yeah.
There's other things to worry about.
But I feel, again, if you have a real back, can you imagine if you have, and then forget about the problems he had, but just imagine the skill set of Kareem Hunt.
Oof.
You had Kareem Hunt to go with Alshon and Deshaun and those tight ends.
What does it go back to? You always bring it up. What's the word? It starts with an S.
Space.
Thank you. 610-632-0975. We got room for a couple calls. If you want to jump on the lines, what's your biggest worry? You can give us a worry for the Eagles, for the Phillies, for the Flyers, for the Sixers, whatever you fancy. And coming up, Anthony, I just see here, somebody alerted me to this tweet, Matt. Frulajan says baseball finally does the smart thing, and they are instituting rule changes in 2019 and 2020, pending ratification by all 30 clubs. The Major League Baseball and the Players Association have negotiated a series of rule changes that will go into effect over the next two seasons.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go rule by rule with you throughout the program and see if they get the cuz stamp of approval.
I like it.
All right. 610-632-0975. It is the Midday Show. Anthony Gargano, Jason Martinez right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. But I got to tell you about Natural Lawn. Well, my kids are running around in the yard. I want to make sure that what I put on my lawn is safe. And that usually comes at the expense of keeping it really green and healthy. Everybody wants a green, healthy yard. Everybody admires it in the neighborhood. Well, Natural Lawn of America uses safer, organic-based lawn care products that actually reduce the amount of chemicals used on your lawn. And with Natural Lawn, you don't have to sacrifice beauty for safety. That's the best part. So you're going to get a greener lawn, and you don't have to be worried about your kids running around in it. For over 25 years, Natural Lawn, they've been recognized as the leader in organic-based lawn care. And for as many years as I can remember, Mikey Missman telling me, you got to use Natural Lawn. Come on. Well, whether you live in PA or New Jersey, Natural Lawn's customized treatments give you the lush green lawn you've always wanted, and you're the envy of the neighborhood. For a limited time, Natural Lawn is offering $100 off their full-service program. That's $100 off. So call Natural Lawn today for a greener lawn with fewer weeds and tell them Jason sent you. So here's the number, 855-LAWN-CARE. Again, that number, 855-LAWN-CARE. Natural Lawn of America, greener grass, fewer weeds, guaranteed.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Being able to, you know, have this opportunity to come back here, which I feel is my home, was a great opportunity for me to reunite with the Eagles. And obviously, been keeping my eye on them the past couple of years. They've been, you know, doing some great things here. Obviously, seeing the Super Bowl. Man, I could only imagine what it would be like if, you know, I was to come back here and win the Super Bowl. So that's kind of, you know, what made me, you know, be so happy and excited about reuniting with the Eagles.
Ah, that's awesome.
Great quote.
It's a great quote. He's,
Look good, right?
He looked great. He looked happy.
Mm-hmm.
I like when people are happy. Like, he genuinely wants to be here. And, I'm a big believer in that. Like, I want you to want to be here. Look, Bryce Harper took 13 years, no trade.
And we lauded him for it.
Well, right, because he made a commitment.
Rightfully
he wants to
so.
Be here. Deshaun never wanted to leave in the first place. But I do think that because he left and went to Washington, because he was jettisoned by Chip Kelly, It made him appreciate Philadelphia and the Eagles. The Eagles have a, whatever you say, right? Listen, I criticize this and that. They treat players wonderfully. Jeffrey Lurie is a great owner.
Player's owner.
He's a great owner. He treats players terrifically. He's a great
owner.
Why
they send Chip out of here? Because he didn't treat the players the way Jeff fell in line with
Howie,
Jeff's thinking.
Like, these guys, they do. Like, I they respect, like, to me, if you're in that business, and there's believe it or not, it sounds crazy, but there are teams that just don't respect players. And these guys, they respect their players. I appreciate it. I like that about
them. Yeah, they take care of guys in more ways than
they have a great medical staff, you know, the sports science staff.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like,
no, you're right. And then the thing is, too, like he. You're right. He looked happy. Like, Gabe would have gone, ooh, he's presenting himself beautifully in his return to Philadelphia.
Very good, yeah.
Right? Ooh, the green shirt was a great call.
Yes.
You know, when he was dressing himself. But no, you're right. He did. But he looked like, this is good.
Oh, that's
this
awesome.
Is good to be back. You know what I mean?
That is awesome.
But he did. For lack of a better term, he presented himself beautifully today, and he articulated himself very well. So we're good with that. Let me read you a couple tweets, all right?
Sure.
I said, we use the word underwhelmed to this point. And, of course, people on Twitter, look, here's the deal. Like, we're to this point, and there's not, NFL free agency happens very quickly. You know, the best talent goes fast.
Yeah.
So you're now left with the second tier and a lot of times maybe even the third tier by now. I know it's only a day into free agency, but really free agency started on Monday with the legal tampering period. That's when all the deals are getting announced and consummated, and they get signed yesterday and into today, obviously. But this guy goes, Schlick says, underwhelming? The D-line is now stacked. The offensive threats look great. I think everyone is underestimating Smallwood as well. Look how he finished up the season. Well, I don't look at the D-line as being stacked. I know that they, look, you look at it, you go, okay, they got Malik Jackson. He was benched last year, Schlick. He's going to have a better year this year because he's going to be alongside Fletcher Cox and he makes players better. But okay, Derek Barnett's returning. I mean, you and I are both expecting big things from Derek Barnett. I think he's going to be great in year three. Brandon Graham on the left side. Now 31 years old, and he had 4 sacks last year. Wasn't very good, if we're being honest. Chris Long's going to be gone most likely. You don't have a lot of depth at that position now either. You got rid of Haloti Ngata, Michael Bennett, Jernigan. So don't tell me the D-line is now stacked because they signed Malik Jackson, who you probably never watched, right? The offensive threats look great. Okay, I agree with DeSean Jackson. Needed him. Aguilar in the slot, I don't like the number either, but whatever. Alshon, I'm good. Carson, obviously, so much is predicated on him. But who's my running back? Corey Clement, Josh Adams, undrafted players. Now, did they both give you something? Yes. You going to go Wendell Smallwood?
Nah.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I don't understand that.
Yeah, he looked good at the end last year, but you can't rely on Wendell Smallwood.
No, come on, man.
Come on, what are we doing here? We're justifying.
Yeah, I disagree.
Come on.
I couldn't.
See, some people can't handle going critical of this team yet because they won a Super Bowl 2 years ago.
Listen, the D-line, I don't think the sky's falling on the D-line. So I like Malik Jackson. So I'm cool with the D-line.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not cool with the running back spot situation. I got to be real here.
There are options out there.
I'm expecting, like, I wanted Tevin Coleman. When I heard that they were interested, and they were interested in him,
mm-hmm.
I thought, you get him, and then you draft somebody.
Yeah.
That's a great one, too. And then you fill in with.
Veteran with a rookie.
You fill in with one of your Clement or Josh Adams.
Yeah, I like Corey Clement. He got hurt last year. That's a shame.
Yeah, whatever.
He played a nice role in the Super Bowl year.
Yeah, but Smallwood, come on.
Yeah. Billy Watkins says, so glad to see the angst is back with Eagles football. We'll never forget the Super Bowl season, but we definitely let up last year, and I think the moratorium is over, and the fire is back, baby. Hashtag fly, Eagles fly. Well, Billy, I will tell you that the fire is back, or the angst is back for some people, but clearly not with other people. And we have faith in Howie. Just as it looks right now, I'm a little concerned.
Yeah,
is there something wrong with that?
I mean, it's not. Like, here's the thing: you can have faith in Howie and still be skeptical. I mean, nobody's you're not a Pollyanna.
Nope, not my job to be a Pollyanna.
Or Nora Lemming.
Nope. Look, I get called that from time to time in regards to the Flyers. I'm very critical of them this year. And be like, well, they're going to make the playoffs. Yeah, your ass, they're going to make the playoffs. They dug themselves a hole with a freaking backo so deep that you can go 24-4-2 or whatever and still be 5 points out. That's on them. I don't go, well, they deserve to get in because they play great lately. Your ass. It's an 82-game season. 610-632-0975. Let's go to Ryan in Jersey on the Fanatic. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, listen, so I know you guys were talking about Coach Q earlier. I think it'd definitely be a great addition if they could grab him. Like you said, if there's a guy like that available, you got to pay him no matter what he wants.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is a high budget market and a high budget team. You don't skimp on coaching.
And that's the thing I'm worried about, right? Ryan, like, I don't want to use this uptick and not go after Q.
I've been impressed with Gordon thus far, but...
Yeah.
You know, if a guy like Q is valuable, you got to go after him. Right. It's no disrespect to what Gordon's done, but, you know.
Yeah, I mean, look, you put yourself in a good situation, Ryan, if you do that. Because you may go, okay, well, you go after Q, and if you don't get him, you have a great fallback option.
Yeah.
Right. I think it also
if you do get him, then maybe you try and keep Gordon on his staff if Gordon can't go out and get another head job, which he might be able to do based on what he's done.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I think they also need to get some free agents in.
Clearly.
You know, defense is struggling. I think they need a veteran defenseman.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Just to help the young guys.
Yep. You got a lot of young guys, and the young guys are going to be good, but you need a veteran presence around that can play, 20 minutes a night.
Right, exactly.
All right, Rye.
I appreciate it, Phil.
Yeah, all right, buddy.
Yeah, I agree with his worries. But, you know, if you're in a situation, you can get Quenneville, and then you make Scott Gore, you keep him on the staff. If he doesn't have another head coaching opportunity, then I think that's a great thing.
Where do you think we're at on criticism?
In what regard?
Like, I find it fascinating, the idea of, go back to the caller. Because the guy sounded like a smart dude, like sports guy. The guy that I was arguing with the running back.
He sounded like a smart guy, but he said a dumb thing.
He sounded like a sports guy, right? Like, mm-hmm. You know,
he's educated. Yeah, sure.
So, but it was interesting to me because it was almost like he was affronted by criticism.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't understand how you can be happy with the running back situation right now.
Well, he was. I don't know if he's happy with it. I wouldn't. What he was justifying. Because you nailed it. That's what people say who don't have a running back.
Right. I guess I'm talking more about, like, he was trying to make excuses for that draft.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was you missed on that. Go back to the draft. You have all your drafts?
I'll pull it up right now.
All right. Because, you know, one of the things is
16, right?
They need to draft better.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So go back to... You got to go back 3 years, right?
It's the 16 draft, right? No, it's actually the year after.
Yeah, 17 draft.
But the 16 was Zeke.
Right, but
All right. Leonard Fournette. You may give him to you, the running backs?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Boy, there was a lot of running backs in this draft. How about Leonard Fournette was the first running back taken that draft at LSU? Dalvin Cook, we talked about, out of Florida State. Christian McCaffrey went in the first round of that draft.
Yeah, but these are all high picks. But like a guy like Kamara.
Yep, exactly. He's on the list.
Connor, you brought up.
Yep. Leonard Fournette, Dalvin Cook. This is kind of ranking them. Alvin Kamara, Joe Mixon was in that draft. Now, there were some issues around Mixon, we know.
Yeah.
Deontay Foreman was in that draft. Marlon Mack. Samaje Perine out of Oklahoma. Kareem Hunt out of Toledo in that draft. Where was Kareem Hunt taken?
Fourth round.
I'm trying to see here. It may have been. This is a pre-draft ranking that I got here. But no, you're right.
Third or fourth round.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of good running backs in that draft.
I mean, Marlon Mack turned out to be good for the Colts.
Sure. I'm trying to bring up just the by position here and see if I can get it for you. But no, and then they ended up with taking Danelle Pumphrey, and they moved up in that round to get him. And it was, you know, you missed out on a stacked running back draft, and you came away, and you moved up for a guy that turned out to be nothing. He's on your practice squad.
Well, that was my point. That's why I didn't get the argument as to, you know, how do you make excuses for that?
Because
going into the draft, I remember sitting with, you know, Baldy and I watched every running back in that draft, every running back in that draft. And we came away with the same thing. Like, look, this is a great draft for backs.
Well, the part why you can't make an excuse for it is because you were in play for a running back and drafted one and you missed.
Yeah, the kid from Green Bay, William, the kid he went to TCU, I think. Small, who's the kid from Green Bay? I think he was drafted last year. Baldy nailed it. We watched his film from him, and you know these are guys that were available that you should have gotten.
Yeah. Well, no, you're right. And you see what's available now. They're on the free agent market, and there's just not much. There's just not much there. You know, there really isn't, Anthony. What's left on the market right now? No, how you can go out and you can make a trade. You know, the trade market will heat up at some point. And Howie's not afraid to acquire players that way as well. So we'll see how it plays out. But you're right. The point to what you said, though, is really interesting. That there's a hesitation to criticize.
Yeah.
And to justify. And I don't know when that ends. I really don't. I don't know when that part of it ends.
Aaron Jones, the kid Aaron Jones from last year. I remember looking at him. He went to a Texas school. Yeah, he went to UTEP.
Okay. Texas El Paso. Okay.
I remember looking at him. Baldy and I were watching him on tape at NFL Films. He went, like, this kid's good.
Yeah.
And he came in last year, and he actually had some carries. You can find these backs, and they haven't found them.
Wait, why haven't they found them? I mean, they went undrafted, and they found a guy like Corey Clement. Yeah, and they've gotten something out of him, but he's not that guy.
But he was an obvious guy to bring in. First of all, he had a lot of success in Wisconsin. Second of all, he's from your backyard, so he's going to want to take a shot.
I mean, James Conner was taken in the third round.
Like my beef with their drafting, like, I think Cowie's really good at free agency, trades. He's a great trader. But, look, your draft, your scouts, how you build your draft board is from your player personnel people and your scouts.
Yeah.
Do you build a board? You go off your board. And, like, look at Robbie Anderson. Now, why wouldn't you have drafted Robbie Anderson?
Mm-hmm.
They needed wide receivers, right?
Yep.
You got a kid playing your backyard at Temple. Why wouldn't you have drafted Robbie Anderson?
Yeah.
Like, that makes, like, no sense.
Yeah, just that's a geography pick. Like Brian Westbrook.
No, but you knew the speed.
Yeah.
Like, I remember talking to Matt Rhule going, Eagles looking at, if they call you about him. And it was like, well,
not really.
And I'm like, I don't understand. Like, you see the kick and run, he's got good hand. Like, you can't miss on guys in your backyard.
Yeah.
And look, he played well for the Jets.
Yeah. Joe Gazowski. Sorry, buddy, if I just wrote your name. He says, my God, yous aren't kidding. We've drafted terribly outside of Wentz and Goddard in recent years. And he's got the screenshot here. 2018. Well, you got Avante Maddox in that draft, too. But you got Josh Sweat, Matt Pryor, Jordan Mailata. Maybe Mailata turns out to be something great, but obviously that's a project. That's a low risk, high reward. 2017, Barnett, who we like. Sidney Jones, I'm not sure. We're not sure. No, I don't know if they're sure. Rasul Douglas, they don't seem to really know where to play him right now. Matt Collins.
Nah.
Danelle Pumphrey, Shelton Gibson, Nathan Gary, Elijah Qualls. I mean, what is that draft? I mean, that's just 2 years ago. 2017, Anthony. You may end up with one player out of that draft in Derek Barnett.
Who you got?
And they
16?
Had what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Eight players drafted. You may have one hit in that draft, and it was in the first round at 14.
Well, you don't get credit for getting a first round of the right.
Nope, you better get a first round of the right.
Top 14 pick. What's
16 was the Wentz draft. Obviously, stroke of genius of Howie to move up.
No, that was, again, he's a great trader and a great free agent guy. Go ahead.
Sayamalu was their third round pick at 79th overall.
Okay, not bad.
Wendell Smallwood in the fifth round, 153. Halapuli Vati Vaitai in the fifth round.
Like, that's a good draft.
And Blake Countess.
Sands the Countess.
Yeah. You have three of those players draft on the roster. Now, Sayamalu and Vaitai are backups, and Wendell Smallwood is a extreme depth running back. But so that one you don't murder them on.
No,
2017 one's really shaky. That's a really shaky draft. And look, I got the value in Sidney Jones. I get it. You know, a guy blew it out. And you were okay sitting on him for a year and bubble wrapping him, basically, to get first-round talent in the second round. Because you're playing the long game, that's usually okay. You go with that. But it may not pay off.
I don't think Howie's, again, I don't put the drafts on Howie either. Like, he's in charge of it. But, you know, you got to do a little better job as the scout and the player personnel people.
Yeah, we're all high on Joe Douglas.
I love Joe to death, but, you know, you got to do a little better there.
Yeah.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.